Amen, amen. Turn over to... Sorry, guys. 63, take the name of Jesus with you.
Really?
Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. The hope of earth and the joy of heaven. Here we go. Take the name of Jesus, number 63. Did I give that number out, 63?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Verse 1.
Take the name of Jesus with you. Shout of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it anywhere you go.
Precious name,
oh how sweet,
how sweet.
Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Precious name,
oh how sweet,
how sweet.
The hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet,
how sweet.
The hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Precious name,
oh how sweet,
how sweet.
The hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. When his loving arms receive us, and his songs our tongues employ.
God's precious name is so sweet.
The hope of earth and joy of heaven.
God's precious name
is so sweet.
How sweet.
The hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet.
Amen. He's the King of Kings.
King of Kings, and heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet. The hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Precious name,
oh how sweet.
How sweet.
The hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Let's sing a couple of ones. They're not new, but we don't sing them enough. Just about the Lord. Turn back to number 18. Giving God thanks here. Now thank we all our God. Now this thing goes back to 1586. 1586. And still got kicks. All right, there we go. Now thank we all our God. Are you guys familiar with this?
No.
All right, so.
We're
all going to
sing different.
Yeah. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices. Who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices. Who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today.
Verse 1.
Verse 1.
Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices. Who wondrous things have done, in whom his world rejoices. Who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today.
Verse 2.
Oh, may this bow
blessed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given. The Son and Him who reigns with Him in highest heaven. The one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore.
Maybe one more new one, 26. Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Does that ring a bell?
Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your festal banner wave on high, the cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
A little bit. All right. Be one more new one. We're going to keep on expanding our repertoire here.
Do it.
It's a good one. And once we get it down, it's going to be fun to sing. Here we go. Verse number one. Song number 26. Here we go.
Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your festal banner wave on high, the cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, give thanks and sing. Thy youth ends no crown days, strong men and maidens meet. Raise high your free exulting song, God's wondrous praises sing. Voice as full and strong as ocean surging praise, send forth the hymns our fathers loved, the songs of ancient days. Rejoice, give thanks and sing with all the choirs, with all the saints on earth, pour out the strains of joy and bliss through rapture, noblest mirth. Rejoice, give thanks and sing. Still lift your standard high, still march in firm array, as warriors through the darkness toil, till dawns the golden day.
Amen.
Rejoice, 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 rejo
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise and spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his coming, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He
the man can be. Thou God art present.
Turn over to 107. When I was singing this, I saw that it said the same song in a lower key. But we'll sing it in the same key, but a little different words here. Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Never sung this before, but we already know the melody. Here we go.
Hosanna, loud Hosanna, the little children sang. Through pillar, court, and temple, the lovely anthem rang. To Jesus who had blessed them, those folded to his breast, the children sang their praises, the simplest and the best. From Olivet they followed, mid an exultant crowd, the victor palm branch waving and chanting clear and loud.
Because of how funky the words are, like laid out over that melody, dude. It's like, ain't nowhere to come and where to go. Turn over to 436. Bring them in, man. Let's see where this one out right here. Bring them in. Here we go. Verse 1. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. All right. Verse number 1, here we go.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Verse 1 again.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear. He's calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Oh, go and help this shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find, out in the
lost ones to
there we go.
Where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains wild and high, hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep wherever they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
On that chorus, one more time.
Better bring them in, bring them in, bring them in. the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Got time for a couple more. Any suggestions out here?
477.
477. She was ready with that one. I know. What we got here?
At Calvary.
Oh, man, that's a goodie. Years I spent in vanity and pride. Hopefully those years are behind us, right? Amen. Caring not, my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. All right, here we go. Verse 1. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, my pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. God's mercy there was great and grace was free. That pardon there was multiplied to me. At Calvary. Lord, help us on this next verse.
Now I give to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan,
and
oh, the grace that brought it down to me.
Thank God he did.
Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary.
God's
mercy there was great and grace was free.
His
pardon there was multiplied to me.
And
there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
One more time.
God's mercy there was great and grace was free.
My
pardon there was multiplied to me.
And
there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Time for one more?
It is
well. All right, 256. 256. I don't need to turn there. When peace like a river attends my way. Here we go.
When peace like a river attends my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Assurance control.
imagine lying down for your last and taking your last breath. You're all alone, no one's with you, and you got that assurance as you step into the next life, and just that straight line. It is well. You know, some other people don't hear that. They start to hear screams, they start to hear noises that they've never heard and never even thought were possible. And they just get louder and louder until it becomes a reality forever. So, really good, man. We got some great stuff, guys, with what the Lord Jesus Christ did with us in salvation.
Amen.
So, what I want to do today is, I don't know if I have a particular spot for you guys to turn to. You probably noticed what was going on up here, some different things. First, before we get started, I want to take some time to do that. Anybody that was here when Alex and Erica did their lesson that wants to say their verse that they had memorized, that you did not get to do last time, you can go now if you'd like. Is there anybody here who wants to do that? Anybody in particular that said they did before class started? Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess we'll take a rain check on that. No worries. Okay, what I want to do, though, is move into something that I think is really practical and going to help us out a lot. Jordan, you passing that cleanance right there?
Yes.
Woo! I think I said please somewhere in there. Thank you, Jordan. I really appreciate that.
Bless you.
So, who knows what's up there in the top left corner?
Kenzie's raising her hand.
I was like, I wonder why I can't think about his hand raised. He's like, I'm a back to you. The tabernacle. Wow. That is exactly right. How'd you know that, Kenzie? You've been around long enough?
We have a diagram hanging in our house of what's inside the tabernacle.
Dang.
Do you know how to spell tabernacle?
Probably not.
Not off the top of your head,
Alex. What about the bottom of your head?
Maybe.
T is
the E-R-N-C-O.
What was it? T?
A-B.
A. B.
E-R.
E. R.
N-A-C-L-E.
So we got the tabernacle up here, and what was so good about the tabernacle? What's so nice about that? What do we need to know about the tabernacle?
What's significant about it?
What's significant about the? Thank you. There's a good word for it. What's significant about the Old Testament tabernacle? Why is that in the Bible? Caleb?
Wasn't it a place of worship?
It was a place of worship. So this is not where they went to play sports, right? Probably not. I don't see any balls, you know, coming around here. These look like balls, but they're not. They're breads. So they're just really pretty breads. Yeah. So it was a place of worship. It was a place that they went to. Who are they worshiping? All right. God, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a pretty easy question right there, all right? You can't get that one wrong. So they came here to worship God. And what it does is God gave them this pattern because the Bible says over in Hebrews, it's a pattern and it's a picture of what's happening up in heaven. So up in heaven, there's an altar before God's throne. And I guess you have these other tools, and whenever they approach God's throne, this is God's throne. I know you guys can tell it. It's this seat looks like it has a toupee on it or something like that. I don't know. It's supposed to be the angels with their, or the cherubim with their wings over it anyway. So this is God's throne. So out here, you got like three different parts. So one, two, three. So this down here would have represented where earth was. All right? This right here would have represented, we'll call it the second heaven or outer space. And this right here would have represented the third heaven where God's throne is. Okay? So not only was it a picture of what was up in heaven for the earthly high priest to copy so that they could have a similar setup while they're worshiping God down here, that it represented our universe. How the earth was in this first section, the second heaven had this going on, and then up here was the third spot. I'm not going to spend a lot of time getting into that because I really want to focus on this over here. Does anybody recognize anything from this? Jordan said it, our prayer request. All right. So, in the spirit of not just going through the motions of like just Christian rituals and stuff that sometimes maybe we do and just turn our minds off, because it's like we don't have to think about it. We know this is the right stuff to say, this is the right stuff to do, and so we kind of get used to this going to the list thing. I want to take some time with you all today to talk about why our prayers get answered or why they don't get answered. And what we learn, we're going to then take and put it up against our list and see if anything on this list is viable or not viable, if anything will stand or not stand, okay? That's what we're going to do with our prayer requests. Because what we could do, we could keep playing the game and just every time we get together on Tuesday nights, yeah, just give me your prayer request, okay, I'll pray for you. And we know for sure that God is answering all these things. Anybody had anything on this list before that you feel like is you're just repeating it over and over and over again? Maybe nothing's happening yet. Anybody honest enough about that? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I definitely have stuff on my list that I have to check and be like, wow, this thing's been sitting on her for some time now. What's going on here? You know, a little time to examine, like, what's going on. So, what is prayer? In its simplest form. Who knows what prayer is? How would you describe it? Macy, how would you describe prayer?
Talking to God.
That's beautiful, because that's exactly what it is. I don't want you guys to ever think prayer is reciting something or something that we do at church or something like that. I've got Catholic friends at work. They say that we say our prayers. You say your prayers? No, I'm communicating with somebody that I'm in a relationship with. It's talking to God, okay? When I tell my kids to pray before they eat, I'm not telling them to say the blessing. I'm saying, no, thank God for the food he just gave you. You see that? That's the difference between talking to God or doing something religious, where God's not intact with that. We don't read our Bibles. We listen to what God has to say to us. It might be small, but do you guys see the difference in that? It's the difference between having a relationship with someone or just having another religious ornament that you carry around, that you identify with. When I open this up, it's God talking to me. So I've got to listen. And not only do I have to listen, I better obey it and take heed to it. Especially if I want our relationship to be good. What would happen if when you talk to your friends and they talk back to you, they say a ton of stuff to you, you don't listen to anything that they're saying or don't know anything that you guys are talking about? What would happen in that relationship? Would it last very long? Probably not. They'd probably be like, okay, either this guy has like a hearing impairment, he can't keep up with what I'm saying. But the fact of the matter is, in order to have a good relationship, the communication has to go back and forth, right? We've got to listen. We've got to speak. We've got to talk to God too. All right, so what happens? Let's make a little list real quick. What are some things that mess up communication with you and your friends? You're trying to have a relationship with your buddies. Marcella, what are you going to say?
Like not texting them.
So not talking to them, not responding. That's good.
Fights.
All right, so hold on. So not talking. It's hard to communicate when you don't talk, isn't it? It's hard to communicate without communication. It really is. All right, so you know what this is going to represent with you and I, with God? Prayerlessness. When we just choose not to pray. Maybe we say we're getting too busy. Maybe we just think, oh, well, this isn't something that I really need to talk to them about. Think about all the random nonsense you talk to your friends about. Sometimes we just start talking about stuff just to hope that we get to something that we actually care about. Right? Small talk. You're hoping that will build to something better and bigger and more interesting than the zit on the bottom of your foot or something like that, or whatever you open the conversation with. Sometimes for guys, it's jokes. Like, man, you're really looking ugly today. Man, is that you or is that trash that I'm smelling or something like that? You know, we just say stuff to try to break the ice and get in there. Feel free to do the same with God. Just tell him about what's going on. Just talk. Alex said, fights, right? And y'all got beef with each other, okay? So now what is that? The Bible says over there,
disagreements.
In Isaiah, I think it's is it 30 or 59? That's a big gap. Let's try 59 first. So we're talking about things that hinder, don't allow our communication with God to happen. And we're getting this list from our own communication with our friends and stuff like that. Isaiah 59. Nope, it's not.
No, it's 50.
58?
I know what you're talking about. It might be
50. We're just going to keep going down until we hit it.
It might be 52 or 53.
basically, you find it, Alex, but it says your iniquities have separated. This 59, huh?
Yeah.
I just don't go down far enough.
Verse 2.
There it is. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And what does it say? Read the rest of verse 2.
But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So he will not hear. For your hands have defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness.
Alright, so sin. Just stuff that you're doing that's wrong. And you two can't, like the Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree, right? So that's something that's going to hinder your relationship, your communication. So not talking. Fights. I put beef up there, just the modern term. What's something else?
Not listening.
Not listening. Yeah. We'll go with, we'll bounce that in here just to keep it simple. How about this one? Because this is kind of off of that not listening one. This is, how about not understanding? Mm-hmm. All right. So sometimes your friends or people that you're talking to, they'll say stuff and it just doesn't make sense to you. So the obvious thing is they're not speaking your language, right? So it's like the Tower of Babel. You guys can understand each other, so you're just like, whatever. You go your way, I'll go my way. You just don't understand where I'm coming from. So that can be not understanding in language. That can be not understanding in, like, perspective. Like, I keep trying to lay out where I'm coming from. You're just not getting it, so cool. You go do your thing, I'll go do my thing type of deal. So gibberish. All right, now watch this. These things jack up our communication to where it doesn't work, all right? So not talking, all right? What's up?
They had one.
Who had one? Who else had one? Go up, what's up, Caleb?
Too busy.
Too busy? Oh, that, okay, that goes into prayerlessness, not doing it. You're too busy to do it. What'd you say, Marcella?
Like, if you accidentally say something that you didn't know would offend them, but it does.
Okay, so that's going to be a beef thing right there. Kind of get into that tussle with them and everything like that. But that also ties into lack of understanding. It's like, I don't get where you're coming from with that type of deal. All right, so gibberish. This is where we're going to make our home today on this last one. And that's why I drew the tabernacle up here. What we find in the Bible are models and patterns. God knows we're slow, and he knows, like, the way that I have to lay things out to these guys is to give them a pattern, a picture, a model that they can understand and relate to. So what we have over here, sorry, Elena, is how man had fellowship with God and the process he had to go through to do it. So it all started right here with the sacrifice on the altar. I probably should have wrote altar there. I'll try to write it nicely. Oh. Boom. Nice. Did I spell that right?
No one can see it from down here.
Good. You don't need to see it.
No.
All right.
It's
ER. Is it really ER?
Yes. No, I
think
it's AR.
No, it's
AR.
Okay, it's AR. I don't know. Because alteration is like ER, I think you're right.
Yeah.
We'll go above that. If you're in Britain, it's ER. If you're in America, it's AR. All right, there we go. Yeah. All right, so check it out. In order for us to communicate with God, these high priests, what God expected for them was they first had to, you know what this thing right here represents? It's called the altar of incense. All right? And this right here represents the prayer life. So, look at this. The altar where the sacrifice happened. That's where they put the animal, the bull, whatever it was that they're going to give a burnt offering to God. Spiritually, who was laid on the altar as a sacrifice for us? All right, everybody now.
Jesus.
There we go. All right, so spiritually, Jesus Christ was laid on that altar as a sacrifice for us. So that could be a picture of Calvary, okay? That could be a picture of the cross right there. Down here, we got this laver of water. So the high priest was supposed to make that sacrifice. They treaded through the dirt, but then before they went into the next level of the tabernacle, they had to take their feet. See my little dotted line? That's a little path. All right, they had to take their, I didn't like start having Tourette's while drawing or nothing like that, but watch, they had to take their feet, put them in there, and get them clean so that they could take the dirt and dust of the world, get it off their feet, and then go into the next level with God, the second level up here. All right, up here are the spiritual beings. We got this seven-pronged candlestick that represents the Holy Spirit of God, complete in one, but also has seven different identities in there. We've got this table of showbread, or the table, and then the shewbread. How do you say shoe or show? I don't know how to say. I would say show. It's spelled S-H-E-W, so how are we going to call that? But it's laid up, and it represents bread, the Word of God. So it's got 12 for the 12 population of Israel, but then also it's laid out in 6 and 6 to represent the 66 books, okay? And we know we got our Bible from the Jews, salvations of the Jews, all good things come from the Jews, all right? So if you guys have an option between choosing a Gentile and a Jew, choose a Jew, all right? So that was a free commercial. All right, so check it out. We got that happening back here, but then over here, this is what we're talking about right here. We're talking about our prayer life, and this thing right here represented the altar, was the altar of incense. In order to burn something, in order for it to give off a smell, what do you have to have to ignite it? Those of you that just went to the 4th of July should know. What is it?
Fire.
You gotta have some fire. All right, so where do you guys think they got the fire for this thing from? Based off of our?
The altar.
The altar. All right? So they went to the altar to put some fire on this altar, all right, to send it up to the Lord. So it all had to start right here at the altar. It had to start at Calvary. It had to start where the sacrifice was made. Your prayer life, listen up now, this is huge. This is how we're going to judge everything over here. What you ask for in your prayer life will not make sense to God. Okay, remember? We might be talking gibberish. We might lack understanding when it comes to communicating to God. It's gibberish. It doesn't make sense to him unless it starts back here at the altar where the sacrifice happened for his son down on the cross for our sins. You know what that means? Any prayer that I throw on my prayer list, any prayer that I ask you guys to pray for, any time that I pray to God, and my motive for praying that is not, Lord, because of what Jesus Christ did for me, I'm asking you to do this in return. God's just like, what are you talking about? I don't get it. I get this a lot, especially with my son. Even on the way here, I had an example of this. You know, so sometimes we just talk a lot and we get going and going and going and going, and God doesn't answer because it's just gibberish. And he's like, I don't think you're serious about what you're saying. You just like to hear yourself talk. So Brady, on the way here, Dad, how many Chipmans are there? I see that street over there is called Chipman. Is Chipman the name of a guy's last name? Because I told him sometimes names come from last names. He's like, is that somebody's last name, or is it the guy that just likes chips a lot? If he likes chips a lot, why would they think that was special enough to put it on the street? Do you think this man eats chips? Do you like chips, Dad? If you like chips, why is your name Chipman? Like, literally, he went through a regression like this. I didn't get one word in. He just kept going and going and going and going and going and going and going. I didn't even have to say nothing. He was done talking with himself and felt good about it. You see that? Oftentimes, that's how we are with God. Lord, please bless this, pray for this, Lord, look out for this. I'm looking for this over here. God's just sitting back there like, okay, sure, yeah, keep going, just go through your whole cycle that you like to go through usually. That's fine. I'll be here waiting until you get to something that you actually care about. And so it's gibberish to God, and so we take it back here and say, Lord, because of the sacrifice you made for me on Calvary, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to do this for me. Because it's in line with what you've already started. This is what you care about. You know how you guys get into heaven? Is there any good works that we do? Is God impressed by anything like that? No, he doesn't even look at us until we look at his son. In order to get into heaven, we have to look at his son and we have to say, Lord, I'm pleading the blood of Jesus Christ to get into heaven. That's how you get into the throne room when you die. That's the same way you get into the throne room day after day after day to communicate with God. Lord, because of what your son Jesus Christ did to me, I'm coming to you with a request. That's what God cares about. That's what he's impressed with. Maybe you think it should be something more. Maybe you think it should be about like how good a testimony you have at school, which is nice. That's great. But seriously, it's right here. He's only cared about what his son has done. That's what impresses God. It's just what Jesus Christ did. So in order for our prayers over here to mean something to God, they always have to go back to what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We're going to go over this list right now. I'm going to get a lot of feedback from you guys. We're going to go one by one. I want you guys to be vocal and lay it out. And maybe you'll be able to justify some of these things the right way. There's nothing wrong with these, but your motive has to be right in order for God to hear them. Okay? So there's a lot of these. You guys all be like, is this right? You're like, no, because it's just, you know, this and that. It could be if you can tie it back into what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross and ask God to bless it. He said that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You just got to ask it according to his will. Take it back to the altar. All right? My goal today is to plug you in. You know what this is sometimes? And when we don't have this idea in our minds, we're asking prayer requests. You're like that little kid that keeps pestering you to get onto your game system with you and to play with you. And you're like, oh my gosh, this kid will not stop. He keeps asking for the controller. So you know what you do? You go get an unplugged controller or a controller that's not turned on. And you hand it to him. And he's sitting over there and you're like, oh man, you're doing awesome. You're doing awesome. And he thinks he's really doing awesome, doesn't he? But he's not even plugged in, is he? Oftentimes, that's how we are as Christians. We think we're throwing up all these prayer requests. We think that we're really doing something, getting something done for God. And he's up there like, you're not even plugged in, bro. I'm still waiting for you to get back to the power source.
Amen.
Calvary. So we're going to find out whether or not these are plugged in. We're going to find out whether or not you got God's power behind these things to make moves. Or if you're just a little kid sitting here playing the Christian game, everybody's just kind of laughing at you like, look at him, bless his heart. At least he's happy. At least he feels good after he puts his prayer request down. At least he feels spiritual. See that? That's what we're going to do. All right, so let's get rolling here. Let's get rolling here. Summer job search. That was a prayer request. Will God answer that or will he not? Who wants to take that one? Who wants to go after it? I saw some nods. Okay, speak up. So what do you think, Caleb?
I think, yeah.
Okay.
He's definitely trying to wait to give you the best opportunity possible or give you something that will teach you a lesson about maybe summer jobs or certain aspects of working with people to prepare you for later in life.
Okay, so you're tying it back into God will bless this if what? He'll answer that prayer if what? Am I going to pass that to God? Yeah, this looks like
he wants you to complete the statement. Dude.
I'm sorry. Well, I probably didn't ask a good question either. So I'm basically asking you, so you said yes. This is based off what we just talked about. It has to go back to Calvary. You think that asking God on your prayer list, Lord, please help me with my summer job search. Help me to get a summer job. God will look at you and say, yes, that goes back to Calvary, but you have to, now you have to bridge the gap for me. In what way does that go back to Jesus Christ down on the cross for you? Why would God be pleased with you having a summer job based off of what his son did for you? Go ahead, Jordan.
Like your witness and like your opportunities with your coworkers.
That's how you do it. Dear Heavenly Father, you know what? I could be sitting around the house to myself. If I drop dead, I'm going to heaven. Cool. But Lord, I'm pretty sure you saved me to go out and help others and witness other people. One way I can do that is be resourceful, make some money, you know what, help out around the house, provide for myself and all this stuff. But overall, Lord, I need to be touching base with people that are lost out there.
Amen.
And one way I can do that is a summer job. Will you bless that? Absolutely. My son didn't die on the cross for that fame to fade out back here. He wants your light to also shine so that men may see your good works and glorify their Father in heaven. You guys see how we're doing this now? So it's going to take some thinking. That's what I love about this, because nowadays they don't teach you how to think. They tell you what to think or what to say, really, more than anything. But what we're taking time to do now is, let's come out of the matrix. Let's step into reality. Let's say, wow, yeah. This stuff right here was copied verbatim off of you guys' prayer list that you give me on Tuesday night, okay? So now let's stop and think. What am I putting down? Do I care about it? Does God care about it? You're in a courtroom, justify it. So we got a check mark on that one. All right, so that one will work. What about lifting weights? All right, we got some no's, Marcella. She's like, yes, because we need good looking men.
I feel like it would depend, because that kind of seems like a dumb prayer request, like, say, because it's kind of like up to you whether you do it or not. Like, God can't say, like, you have to do that.
Okay, right. But let's say a guy wants to do it, or a girl, they're like, Lord, I put down my prayer request. Zach, pray that I can lift weights better. Go ahead, Caleb.
Instead of maybe praying for God to help you with lifting weights, instead pray for the determination to lift weights, or pray for the like the will, like the want to do.
Right, so that your Snapchat and your Instagram look better, right?
Yeah. Get out.
Basic.
Maybe like pray for like the opportunity when you're lifting weights to like witness to people.
Okay. Hey, and doesn't the Bible say, I'm pretty sure over there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, bodily exercise profiteth little? So there is some profit to it, all right? If you don't take care of yourself, you're going to drop dead, all right? And exercise is all a part of that. You see what I'm saying? But we got to get into that habit of, don't just throw some junk out. Ask yourself, why am I saying this? I told you, everything on this list could be good, or everything on this list could be horrible and worthless. What comes into it is the thought, all right? Why am I asking this? Is it just a selfish thing for myself? Because I know once I start bulking up, then my shirts will look better on me. Start looking a little bit more ripped. That one girl or guy that didn't ever pay attention to me, I'm going to catch their eye now, all this stuff. Okay, yeah, God's not going to bless that. Obviously, we know that, right? But if it's, Lord, I need to take care of myself. I don't want to burn out when I'm out there working for you, when the schedule gets busy, when I have to have a good testimony at work and work harder than everybody else. I need that energy. I need that stamina, Lord, to glorify you, so that when they look at me, they say, wow, look at that guy. Yeah, by the way, he's a Christian. But Christians are all lazy. All they do is sit around trying to witness people in work, or they complain about how bad things are, how wicked the world is, stuff like that. No, that guy's a Christian. Look at him busting his butt. All right? What's up?
So then, because, like, if like, he sees that you're only doing it to impress someone else, he's probably not going to answer.
Okay. Very good. All right, so we went through that one. What about Bible time? Why would God bless that? Bible time is probably the one that shows up more than anything. Macy?
Yeah, I think he blessed it because, like, he wants you to learn more about him. And so, like, if you couldn't, him asking for him to learn more about him.
I think that's all a part of it. The whole reason Jesus Christ came down here, you know, to die on the cross for us was to if it wasn't for Jesus Christ coming down here, we wouldn't have a good representation of who God was. All right? That was the whole thing about him. He had seen God. He was up there. He's like the Bible says, no man has seen the Father any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So what's the Bible? It's the same thing. It's the book that tells us who the true God is. That same great chapter or book in the book of the Bible, John, it starts out showing that Jesus Christ and the Word are synonymous. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning. See that? So it's trying to show you that relationship. So absolutely. Now guess what? Sometimes God won't do this though either. Imagine God not blessing your time in the Bible. Why wouldn't he do something like that? Erica?
Because knowledge puffeth up.
Oh, wow! You guys know there are unsaved people that love to spend time in the Bible and love to read it, and they actually make a living off of it? Actually, there's a lot of atheists that use the Bible because it's one of the most reliable history books to find out stuff on archaeological digs and find out stuff about different civilizations and stuff like that. Yeah.
Maybe because you're only praying for Bible time because you spend too much time doing other things.
Ooh. That's a burner right there. That's a no, hey, you hit all right there, yeah. What's up, Jim?
No, that's what I was going to say. Just like overcoming your flesh, because like you want to do other things.
Boom.
So it's not about necessarily your time, but just like overcoming your flesh.
Very good.
Just be lazy.
What's up, Caleb?
It could be that he wouldn't bless it because it's the wrong motive.
Yeah, let's both do exactly what these guys talked about. Why they're playing it. That's exactly it. The motive is why. All right. Good job. Got through that one. Friends. Lord, I just pray for my friends. And sometimes you guys give lists of their names and stuff like that. What are you praying for them? For them to be more honry? For you guys to be able to go out, get more cookies together, go to more concerts, lift more weights together. Why would God care about answering this? And how does praying for your friends go back to what Jesus Christ did for you on Calvary? So the stuff I gave you is the reasons why he probably won't answer that prayer. All right? Sometimes we just throw our friends out there because we think of prayer as just, you know what? It's kind of like God's goodie bag. We want them to have blessings too because we like them. And if my friends are doing well and I'm doing well, number one, they won't be asking me for help. And then we can just keep having fun together type of deal. So Lord, bless them and don't let bad things happen to them. Because also, when bad things are happening to people, it's not that fun to hang out with them. And since I really enjoy hanging out with them, Lord, I need them to be doing good in life too. That's kind of easy. Like, I don't know if you guys ever thought through that before. That's oftentimes what I'm thinking about while I want my friends to be doing well. So that when we get together, we're not crying. Or we're trying to plan about how we're going to help each other out with the next move. Instead, we just like to shoot the breeze and laugh, right? So maybe we want our friends to do well because it's just more fun to have friends that are, like the Bible says, a rich man hath many friends, but the poor are separated from even his neighbor. So maybe we like our friends to prosper just for better times. Why would God answer a prayer like that for my friends? Should we maybe not pray for that anymore?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, Jay's got something. Jay's got something. Go ahead. Jay? She's like, no, get my friends with me.
Yeah.
Jay, go ahead.
Maybe so you can be a good witness to
him. That's the simplest. Yes, right there. My friends are lost. Lord, I pray that you would open their heart up. Give me an opportunity. Help. Lord, go ahead and let something negative happen in their life that causes them to think about eternity. How frail life is. Why this happened. Maybe they're not right with you. That if this is so bad, how bad might it be when I step out and stand before God for judgment? Who else has their hand up? Kenzie?
So, I know that, I would be, most likely the only example of Christ that they'd have in their life. And by going to hang out with them more and showing that, I have genuine interest in them would maybe bring them closer. Say if they're hey, do you want to hang out on Thursday? I'm like, yeah, if you want to go to youth group with me, you know. And just put it out there, you know. You don't say, we can only hang out if, you know, you go to church or whatever.
It's hard to
still
be
hang out, but not be, doing what the world's doing.
It's hard to be a light and a contrast when you're not there, isn't it? Yeah. If you're not present, it's hard to show up. That's deep right there. If you're not present, it's hard to show up. Yeah. All right. Now, surely God will bless this, my discipleship group. Lord, bless my discipleship group. I want to pray for my discipleship group. What? That you guys can get saved? Why are you in the discipleship group if you guys aren't saved? What would you, Caleb?
So that you're willing to learn and that you have the right attitude going into it.
Okay. Tie it back into Calvary now. Willing to learn, having the right attitude, can work for an atheist in science class.
Why do we do it?
Why do we do what we do? That's what Hannah just said. This is good. I feel like what's happening in your mind, right, in your middle pathway, it's like you can see where you need to get to, but that road hasn't been trimmed forever. And so it's like stepping over so many obstacles to try to get over there. But guess what? The more we keep looking over there, the more we keep wanting to go that way, we're going to start treading on that path. And pretty soon, every time you bring something up, it's going to be easy for you to get there and back. This is why I can pray for that, Lord, because this is how it ties into Calvary. And it's going to be simple for you guys. This is a mental exercise for sure. But this is the stuff we got to be doing. Jay, what's up?
So you can learn how to progress and grow as a Christian, not just stay the same and not grow at all.
Absolutely. One of the things the Bible says is not only that we should have fruit. So that could be someone getting saved, all right? Praise the Lord, they got saved. They came from darkness into light. They got born again. But what happens, especially at mega churches, oftentimes, is they come in on this big rush of salvation, and then after that, they got no growth that happens. You know what ends up kind of happening? They don't lose their salvation, but they kind of spiritually die. They go join some cult because they're into spiritual things, but they never got fed right. Or they just stop going to church altogether because they never got nourished. The Bible says not only should you have fruit, but that your fruit shall remain. So discipleship, the key word about that is disciple. And from that, it's discipline. When you say, I'm committing to discipleship, we should have sung this song. You're pretty much saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, wait. Was Jesus going to the ball game? Was Jesus going to the racetrack? Was Jesus just going out to have, you know, custard? Was Jesus going out to the movies with his friends? Where was Jesus going? He was going to get dead. He was going to the cross. Are you sure you decided to do that? Because that means at some point you're not going to exist no more. Whether physically or your whole spiritual makeup is going to be changed. What you like to do, what you care about is going to get enveloped in who he wants you to be. Did you know that's what you claim to be doing when you get to the Bible, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, getting rid of your way and making his way? He must increase, but I must decrease. That's all it is. So if I were praying this, Lord, because of what you did for me on Calvary, you went all the way to the cross, you disciplined your flesh, you said no to your urges and your desires so that I could have a way out of hell. Father, bless my time in this group to make me more like you. Continually let me progress in being less like myself, more like you, caring less for the things of the world, more for your things. And I pray that for every member in our group so that iron can sharpen iron, we can all get stronger. And what you did back there on the cross, Lord, will be manifest in our daily lives. You guys see how this is working now? You got to keep tying that back in. It's almost like you're just getting energy from it, man, while you're thinking about it and praying about it. And while you're doing that, if the prayer request starts to break down and you can't really do it, maybe you shouldn't be praying for it. All right? So we got that one. Grades in school to go well. Macy.
I don't know if this word, but like if you're like not acting great in class or like not doing well and not trying stuff, like you're not gonna be like a good light to teachers and they're just gonna like resent you, which like you don't want.
Once again, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, Marcella.
Or like even if you're not really doing like kinda like Macy said, where if you're not trying, he's probably not going to grant that because he knows that you're not trying. Mm. So why would he just let you have it?
Beautiful. Oftentimes we pray for good grades because we want either the teachers to like us or not to get grounded. Or maybe you got a couple more aspirations. You actually want to go somewhere after high school. You want to go to college. You actually want to get a scholarship. You want to qualify for different things. That's just selfish. It's just flesh. Why do you even want to go to college? Because you think that's the way to get a good job. Well, why do you want a good job? So I can be comfortable. So I can have the things that I want.
Well, even if you pray for good grades for the right reasons, are you willing to put in the work to back it up?
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. Is this one of these things where we let Jesus take the wheel and we do nothing? Yeah. Or do we say, Lord, help me to get good grades? And I'll show you how much I want help because I'm about to bust my butt right now and spend an hour in this book and study and work on memorization and get the tutors that I need and open up in class and ask the questions that I need so that I actually understand the concepts and don't sit back there when the teacher says, do you get it? And you're just like Ed the hyena, you know, you don't know what's going on at all. Right?
Okay. Or just something as simple as learning how to develop good study habits in school. The teacher had to develop good study habits.
Boom. There you go. Everything, okay, because we know, God bless them, we did not learn any of our study habits as far as making outlines and stuff like that from Pastor Bob's English skills, right? Yeah, he'll tell you that, all right? But there's so many things, guys, just because it's science and they're teaching you how to like make three outlines and, you know, bracket stuff and all that stuff like that, steal that stuff and use it for God's honor and glory, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Debate class, absolutely, take that and use it. Math, there's so much math in the Bible that we haven't even touched on. All those things, think about it. If it works, it's from God. You guys ever think about that? If it actually works and has some type of sense to it, that had to come from a mind. If evolution's true, then no. Like you're to praise for it. You came up with that. We know better. We're made after someone's image and someone's likeness. We've got that mind. We've got that intelligence in us. That's stuff that God gave us. Now the world wants to take it and pervert it and just say it's just for this secular purpose. No, not at all. You can absolutely take your education and use it for God's honor and glory and get so much out of that. Erica?
As far as like grades in school and stuff too, something my parents used to kind of like harp on me about was like when you're trying really hard in school and people like the kids around you obviously are gonna see that you're thinking things out, you're putting in lots of effort, you're making those good grades, and by the time you maybe get the chance to share the Bible with them or something, you have a lot more credibility with them because they're like, oh, well, you seem to know a lot of things, like, oh, I'll take you a little more seriously than the kid that's over there sleeping. You know, so like,
I'm going to say this not because it's about, what's up, Marcella, go ahead.
Or like, even if, like, off of what she said, like, are you just doing it to try to get better attention from people? Are you doing it so that they'll like you better, so that they'll think more of you, so that you get praise?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a negative way. But so based off what Erica was talking about here, check this out. Does what you say matter to people, type of deal? A lot of the times, you'll be zealous and gung-ho to tell people about Jesus Christ, but your testimony with the day-to-day stuff that you need to do is so horrible, they're just like, you're a moron. We don't care what you're saying. Right? You're just stupid. Shut up. When I first got onto my job, Heba Kess and I remember this, like, I was super zealous. And I would witness almost every chance I got. I would be up there at my workstation. I actually had my hymn book out, and I'd be singing songs, all right? So, could you imagine that? All right, so even right now, I kind of cringe a little bit, like, wow, man, that might have been too far or something. I don't know. All right, so anyway, at that time, I felt like I was doing exactly what God wanted me to do. What did people around me do? Did they say, oh, my gosh, praise the Lord, a beautiful testimony of a Christian, they all just start coming to church in droves? No, not at all. What they did, they joked around about it, they made fun of it, they thought I was corny, but then they start watching me. So they thought, okay, he's just like all these other guys, you know, man, too bad we hired him, he's going to be worthless. Because he's not going to be on the job, he's just going to be about trying to use this as an opportunity to proselyte people and stuff like that. Because that happens. That happens a lot. But they didn't see that. Even though I was doing the spiritual stuff and everything like that, I was also trying to bust my butt harder than everybody else. All right, so as that happened, I started getting a good reputation there. They started giving me more and more opportunities. Doors start opening up more and more and more, okay? And then before long, after a couple of years being there, I hardly ever have to say anything about anything anymore. Like, these people are saying it for me. Oh, yeah, Zach over there, yeah, he'll witness to you, he'll talk to you. Oh, yeah, he works with his church, he does stuff outside with the youth. They don't understand it all. Some people think I'm a youth social worker. All right, no, that's not exactly what I do. You know how the game of telephone goes, though. They all start telling their own stories and versions of it. But check this out. And all glory goes to God for this. This past week, a couple of years ago, I won Employee of the Year for my little building, okay? We had like 200 people in there or something, and that was a blessing. I was like, glory to God, you know, praise the Lord. At least they know, you know, it's a Christian that got it, type of deal. So this past week, I get a call from my head guy in my building. He's like, hey, man, where are you going? Are you going to be on that call today? I'm like, what call? And so I've been getting this email about an award ceremony that I need to be on. But there's another guy named Zach that's way higher up in corporate. And I get some of his stuff because we have the same name. And so I just kept deleting all these messages they kept sending me. They kept sending these invites, like, show up for this, show up for this. And so I just kept thinking, delete. And so he's like, hey, our regional vice president called and asked if you're going to be on this thing. I'm like, what? And so I get on there, come to find out, my regional VP had nominated me for the operations employee of all of McKesson, not my building, but the whole entire company in America, to be the employee of the year. And I'm just like, what in the world? How did this happen? Sure enough, I get on there, there's the president of our company and the vice president, and they make the announcement, boom, just like that. And in the whole speech they gave, they're like, but the greatest quality that we like about Zach is that he's a youth pastor outside of here and his commitment to God. This is a secular company, folks. Now, if I would have done all that hymn singing and all this stuff like that, and then went and been a bum employee, and not tried my best to understand the processes, not learn my job as best as I could, or try to do it better than everybody else, you think that would have happened? They would have known about me, but they would have known me in the old category of the Christians that don't put up. They're always talking, but they never put up. Same thing what she was talking about. When you as a Christian sit up here and look at your school day and say, I just hate school and I can't stand it and this, you're a moron. You don't understand what God put you there for. That's a mission field. It's not about you. You're saved. Eventually, the boredom of school, the time that you're there is going to wear out. But there are souls around you that will never wear out, and how you affect them is going to last for all eternity. That all you're thinking about is that you want to be home playing video games, or you want to be out of the classroom, you want to be somewhere else. That's going to kill you in the judgment of Christ when you get back there and look at all those opportunities that God put around you. Like Pastor Bob always says, at some point in time in your life, you got to start being smarter than the problem. You got to start walking on higher ground. Stop looking at what's affecting your flesh and where you're at, and look at the opportunities God's trying to open up if you'll be a good testimony. I had to start erasing some of these. I know we're not going to get to all of them. Maybe one or two more. This is kind of similar to school and all that stuff like that. I mean, that's kind of friends. What about this one? What about wisdom teeth out? And that's just an example. But what about when you break your arm or even jack the shoulder up? Or you probably jacked yourself up skating. You guys ask for healing and help after you've gone through something like that. Why should God answer that?
He shouldn't.
Hey, maybe he shouldn't.
What if you were, like, wisdom teeth out, and you were scared to get your wisdom teeth out, and you wanted, like, to be seen for it? That's where I was going with that one.
Okay, there you go. You can justify that. Lord, I know you were brave when you went and died on the cross for me at Calvary. And that's the example I'm supposed to follow. God have not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And Heavenly Father, I'm kind of bad in that category of my life, to be honest with you. Every time I get scared about something, I find a way out of it. I find a way around it. And I know the devil's loving that because he knows I'll never open up my mouth and witness. I'll never be brave and bold like I'm supposed to and put the gospel out. This is a small thing I need you to help me with so I can continue to build up that courage or whatnot. Go ahead.
I think it'd be a good thing to pray about because, I try to meet as many people as I can at skating to, so, like, get to know people there. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if I, like, got hurt in skating, just for an example, I want God to help me get better so that I can go back out there so that people can see that, like, I didn't give up and that they would see that, because some people, like, I knew this one girl, she, like, I don't know what she did, but she got hurt during one of our shows and she, like, never came back. But it'd be like, where'd you get your strength or where'd you get your determination to? And, like, not just witnessing purposes, but also being an example and being able to show that, like...
Yeah, no, that is witnessing. You know, like we say, sometimes a Christian should always witness, but sometimes use words and all that stuff. That's exactly it, man. Live it out. Show them. You know, this is what it looks like. You know, it's like that put up or shut up thing. And even more key, like, yeah, once you've lived that great testimony, they recognize that, wow, look at Elena's determination, and they ask why. Absolutely, man.
Sometimes you got to tell them why. Sometimes you need internal growth for your own development before you have the external. Like, I know we talk a lot about witness. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just come naturally. Sometimes you have to build that faith with the Lord, and sometimes it comes from little things like that.
I'm sorry, Anna.
That's okay.
I was being a retard over here with this. Yeah. Internal growth first, all right? The inner man and then the outer man, right? That's what we got to work on. You got to go in and inside then out. What's up? What were you going to say?
Or, like, even if, like, you injure yourself and you don't want to keep going, like, you should pray about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you injure yourself, like, help me to, like, keep going and, like, go back.
Yeah, Lord, you never gave up on me at Calvary. What's up, Dre?
Instead of people having pity on you, you could ask God to help you get healed quickly and show people how good your life is.
Yeah. Hey, how about this? How about embracing the pain? Watch this. To understand just a little bit more what Jesus Christ went for you on the cross. You guys ever think about that before? When you're out there doing sports conditioning and you start to get gassed and then the cotton mouth comes and then the big pain starts to come and it starts to hurt so bad, it starts to burn, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't think I can go any further. Don't forget someone suffered hell for you. and it kind of helps you suck it up a little bit more. You know, when you're having a really bad cold and you just feel groggy, you're like, man, I hate sickness. I hate being sick. I hate going through this stuff like that. And then you remember what Jesus Christ did for you. Sometimes sickness, pain, those can be the best things. The reason why we can't relate to Jesus Christ is because our life is a little bit too good. How are you going to have a relationship with someone that was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? Huh? So, I guess the question is, how much do you want to get to know Jesus Christ? You know what they say, birth of a feather, you get a flock together. You willing to walk that road with him? One of those good old songs, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Until I blush to own his cause, or fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the sky on flowery beds of ease? While others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain. Wherever it's going to be. You guys ever think about that? Sometimes God just wants you to experience some pain. He'll make you a better Christian. Man. You'll realize what he saved you from. That even though you are experiencing pain in this body, one day that's going to end. But there's people around you whose pain is going to be endless. It's never going to go away. Tonight, right before we got here, we had work and Drake got a call. His uncle died. Kind of had an issue with alcohol. Drake was one of the only guys that would come visit him and hang out with him, Uncle Jerry. And he used to talk about how, you know, every time he would go over there, he could tell, you know, Uncle Jerry didn't want him to leave. He's kind of a lonely dude, just hanging out. Drake would always try to witness to him, tell him about the Lord. Never accepted it. Pain, man. Thank God for us it ends.
Amen.
Uncle Jerry has just started and it's never going to end. It's never going to end. You might have thought he was miserable while he was up here. That was paradise. That's what's on the line. This is why the devil does not want us slowing down, taking time to go through our prayer list to think about things like this. If you do it enough, it will start to become a habit, and you can't look at the world the same no more. You can't just walk by people and ignore them. You can't just act like heaven and hell aren't real. But that's the problem with us Christians. It's just we live in luxury. Life is too easy. It's too happy.
Amen.
And so we're lulled to sleep. And people are dying and going to hell around us. From now on, whenever we're praying or putting stuff up on our prayer list, let's think about this, guys. Does what I'm about to ask for, can I tie that back into what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross? Can I use that as my motivation for why I'm asking? Can I get God's heart to desire it? Like I desire. And if I'm honest, man, a lot of the stuff I pray for, I don't even have a burden for. My heart's not even really in it that much. It's like, oh, I'm on the spot. Let me come up with something so that I can add it to the list. You know what a burden will do to you? It'll take your appetite away from you. It'll make you sweat. It'll take your sleep away. We had time for burdens back in the day. Life was slower. We had time to consider someone's end. Now our schedules are so busy, we can't even consider what's going to happen at the end of our day. So that's some good stuff for us to think about, some stuff to get back to. Remember this principle right here. If it doesn't go back to Calvary, if it doesn't go back to what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, you're like that little kid that's playing with a controller that's not even plugged in. You think you're plugged in as a Christian. but you're now hooked up to the power source. All right, Alex, go ahead and pray for us.
Lord, thank you for this time we get to have tonight. Thank you for the cross.
Amen.
Thank you for your sacrifice where it first started there, and Lord, without it, none of this would be even possible today, 2,000 years later. But help us not to take that for granted, Lord. That's why you've given us your word. That's why you've given us your Holy Spirit. That's why you've given us this church, Lord, so that we can have a better understanding of the sacrifice you first paid for us. Amen. So that we'd be willing to live lives in service for you. Mm-hmm. And help us just understand, Lord, that's what every day, with every decision you give us to make within that day, should go back to, Lord, of how we can serve for you because of how you first served us back on that cross. Lord, and just help us just to truly think about that, Lord. How can I be a servant in this moment right now? How can I be a servant, Lord, to my brothers? Well, first of all, how can I be a servant to you in my own personal relationship so that I can be a servant to the people you give me within my church, the people you give me on my job, the friends you put in my life, my family members, the people I come in contact with on a random occurrence at the store, the gas station, wherever I may be. Ultimately, to be that servant, Lord, that's pleasing unto you at the end of the day. And Lord, just thank you, Lord, for the examples you've given us. Lord, first of all, your example, which was the perfect example, first of all, and then the many brothers and sisters down throughout history who have lived their lives in service for you. And help us, Lord, not to be that latest. I know we are a latest in church, but Lord, help us to get out of that mindset, Lord, just to truly serve and just to, Lord, not to go in empty-handed, Lord, not to be so caught up in ourselves and in our riches and in our wealth and in, Lord, what we think we have, but yet we don't have you.
Amen.
Lord, and help us just to really understand, Lord, that's what it's all about at the end of the day, Lord. How much closer did I get to you today? How much more did I understand, Lord, that what that sacrifice meant for me on that cross? How much more am I willing to sacrifice myself, Lord, for others so that others might get in, Lord, so that others might learn about you, so that others, Lord, might be able to share that eternity, Lord, with you as well. And Lord, and not just so that they could get, you know, salvation, Lord, but that fruit would remain, and so that they would share that with others and keep it going, Lord. I know it's not about a huge revival, but it is about us being faithful with that one friend, with that one person you put in our lives, and help us just to, Lord, to be consistent with that, regardless of if anyone else knows about it. Who cares, Lord? You're the one that put it on our heart. You're the one that put it on our mind.
Amen.
You're the one that put those people within our world. And Lord, help us to be faithful and diligent with it, regardless of what anybody else sees or what if anyone else ever finds out about it. Lord, it doesn't matter because you put it on our heart to do, and that's all that matters. Help us just to be faithful with that, Lord, because at the end of the day, that's what this whole life is going to come down to. Lord, you gave us instructions, and were we faithful to follow?
Amen.
Regardless of what anybody else said, regardless of what anybody else did, it doesn't matter if, Lord, my brothers don't do it. It doesn't matter if my sisters don't do it. It doesn't matter if you gave me something to do, I need to do it, Lord, and that's it. And Lord, help our kids to understand that. Lord, help them not to be afraid. Help them to be willing to stand on their own. Help them to simply learn right now, Lord, to seek you, to find you. Lord, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me.
Thank you, Lord.
And help them to do that. Help them to learn from an early age now to trust in you and depend on your word right here, right now, because, Lord, we know the best way to be prepared for tomorrow is to do what you need to do today. I just thank you, and I love you. Lord, please just continue to give us the wisdom and the guidance with our kids, and just so that they can learn how to truly build their personal relationships with you, Father God. It's in your name we pray. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, guys, if you haven't filled out your camp form, go ahead and do that. Even if you don't have money, get one filled out and turn back into us so we can have a head count and know what to prepare for. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
We just need the last two pages. You can keep that top copy. Just have some information.
Are you the new teacher?
Yeah. No, this is the back. And then the second one is in here. Okay, exactly.
I was like, look at this little fart.
So, like, I have like oh,
Kenzie. What's up, buddy? Hey, thank you.
Sunday.
Those are for the announcements.